Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
So the reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If anyone there loves peace, your peace will rest on that person. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for workers deserve their wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, as I already said, we've got a guest speaker this evening, John McGinley. So, John, welcome. Welcome to Emmanuel. You were speaking this morning. Some people will have heard you there, but some people won't. So, in 1 minute, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us what your favourite football team is and what you do in life?
I'm very happy to tell you about my favourite football team because it's Liverpool and they beat Southampton this afternoon. Sorry to my sister who's a Southampton supporter. And I had the privilege of landing at Natasha and Pete's house and got to see some of it as well, which was even better. I'm married to Bridget. We've got two grown-up daughters and I have one grandson called Alfie. He was 2 years old. I'm going to mention him later on in the sermon. And I've been ordained for 29 years in the Church of England. But 3 years ago, I felt called out of parish ministry to lead something called Myriad, which is to see a variety of new church communities planted all over the nation, led by ordinary people to reach new people in new ways. And so we're working with over 100 teams across the country, exploring how God is sort of reshaping his church and allowing the gospel to connect with people in fresh ways.
Nice. We look forward to hearing a little bit more about that. I've heard a rumour about you that I would like you to just put straight, okay? I think you were a little bit rogue when you were a vicar, so I'm just going to clarify that before people get worried. I think most vicars love to look at their church calendar and think, great, we've got an alpha course, we've got some services to invite people into, we've got some evangelism training, tick, 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 there's all the evangelism boxes ticked. Mm. You, however, looked at the year ahead and went, slash, and blocked out every evangelism activity your church did. Why would you do a thing like that?
Yeah, it might sound a little counterintuitive when I'm going to talk about mission this evening, but we were at Holy Trinity Leicester, City Centre Church, and we were seeing people come to know Jesus. But what I realized was that they were coming to know Jesus through them walking into our building in the middle of the city and through our staff team doing a really good job of arranging all of these activities. And I really felt a conviction from the Lord that actually it was the job of everyone to live as a witness and everyone to help make disciples. And we were almost giving the impression we were doing the job when most people weren't involved in it. And so I cancelled everything. I cancelled Alpha. I cancelled some evangelistic invitational events. And I said, what we're going to do is we're just going to meet every fortnight and we're going to think about how to live missionally. And we're going to do that over the next 4 months and learn how to do that. And then we'll see if God begins to use you to lead people to Jesus. And by God's grace, the first 2 months were tough. But by the second 2 months of that 4 months, every week somebody got up on a Sunday and said, I led somebody to Jesus this week. And we learned that actually we can be those that God uses to witness to him and to enable people to come to faith in Jesus.
It's exciting. Looking forward to hearing from you in a minute. Can I pray with you first?
I'd love you to pray. Thank you.
It's a privilege for us to have John here this evening, Lord. It's a privilege for us to hear from your word and to hear your heart. And so, Father, would you prepare our hearts as well to receive the word that you're going to plant in them? And Lord, please help us to be people that want to tell the good news. And may this evening be a step that helps us to become bolder and more confident in doing so. And we want to do that because we believe the news about Jesus is so good. So Lord, as John preaches to us this evening, may we hold on to the hope of the gospel and take it from here as something which can bring good news into our communities. So Lord, thank you for what he's about to say. We commit it into your hands. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Natasha. And thank you, John, for the invitation, for being here. I've just had such a great day being here at Emmanuel. And there's clear signs of God at work and people wanting to see people come to know Jesus. And so it's great to be among you. This morning, I spoke about the church having a vision as a whole of being a missional community, the disciple-making communities, and that was a key part of what it enables us as God's people to go on that journey with the Lord, to actually grow in confidence in mission, that we have that vision, that that's the purpose of the church. But this evening I want to speak about us being missional people. And as somebody has said, that missional church and missional people begins to see movement, missional movement. And so what does it mean for us to live on mission with Jesus? And just to say, if you are interested in the church bit of this primarily and a bit of the personal stuff as well, I've written a lot about that in this book called The Church of Tomorrow, and there's some copies over there by the Christmas invites, and you just take a picture of my bank details, and if you remember, you send me the money, and if you don't, God bless you. So let's look at this passage together. If we go on to the next slide, Jesus is gathering these 72 disciples, people that have begun to connect with him, and he is sending them out on mission. And what I love about this passage is it's the 72 anonymous people. They're not the 12 superstar apostles where we know their names. They must have been people, like we've been singing about tonight, who just had this growing conviction of who Jesus is. And they've been gathering around him, and they've begun to engage with his teaching and follow him and see what he's been doing. And Jesus sends out the 12, and they go on a mission, just like we've heard this evening. And then they come back, and God's been using them. And so Jesus says, we're going to send out another 72 in the same way to go into every town and place that he was going to go. And I love the picture of this because it's a picture of our witness and our evangelism, that Jesus sends us into our families, into our friendships, into our workplaces, onto our streets where we live. And he wants us to go, as it were, ahead of him so that we can prepare the way for him to come into people's lives. Just as he sends these 72 to prepare the way before he goes into these villages. And this passage begins with this word, send. He tells them, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. It says that he sent them two by two. It says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. This word, send. And the Greek word is ekbalo, and it's a really strong word. It's the same word that is used to describe a demon being cast out of somebody. And so Jesus is saying, I am sending you out into these places to prepare the way. And if we get nothing else from this passage, that it is this picture that's what Jesus does with those who gather around him, become convinced of who he is, put their faith in him, and then he says, I want you to involve you in my mission. If we go on to the next slide, the image that I give of this is that the church so often is seen as a bank vault, where the clergy and the staff of a church are to look after the precious gold of God's people and keep them safe until they go to heaven or Jesus returns, and it's a bank vault. But actually, I think the church is much more like a post office sorting office, that we come in and we get sorted out, and then Jesus sends us to the places that he has for us, and the church is there as that sending place. And we just have to be willing, like these 72, to say yes to that. The other thing I don't want us to miss, because we haven't had a chance to read the whole of this passage, is that Jesus gives these 72 power and authority. If we go on to the next slide, that he says to the 12, first of all, Luke records that he gave them power and authority. And then he records that there's another 72 of the same type, the same mission, that he gives them power and authority. And then later on, as they return with joy that even the demons submit to us in your name, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. We had it hinted in this morning's passage as well, that he gives us the keys of the kingdom. And I don't want us to feel this evening as if this mission and this talk about mission is just more pressure on you to do more in your own strength. It is that Jesus, in his authority, as he said at the end of his earthly life, and he said, all authority is given to me, now go. We go in his authority. We've been singing about it is finished. He's won the victory. We carry his authority as his ambassadors, and we carry the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And power is the ability to do something, and authority is the right to do it. And you and I have been given the right to represent Jesus to the world around us, an incredible privilege. And we've been given the power, the ability to do it. Now, I'm going to tell you a really silly story to help you remember this and to really land this for you. So the story comes from America. You'll realize in a moment why. And it's about an older woman who is doing her shopping in the supermarket. And when she comes out of the supermarket with her trolley, to her horror, she sees these four young guys getting into her car and carjacking her car. And she's shocked by it. She says, get off my car. And then she rummages into her handbag and takes out a handgun. And she then fires the gun into the air and says, get off my car. And these young guys are shocked. They look around. They see what she's doing. She fires the gun again and they run off. And she's shaken, but she puts the gun back in her handbag. And then she goes and she gets into the car, puts her shopping into the car, sits down and takes out the key. And as she tries to put the key in the ignition, she realizes it's not her car. She gets out of the car, she looks and she realizes her car's very similar, but it's five cars down the road. And she goes, oh my goodness, I've just stolen this car from these young guys. And so she goes to the police station, reports herself, and they said, ah, this explains the report we've got of this crazy granny who's carjacking cars in supermarket car park. Now, why do I say that? I say it because she thought she had authority over that car. That was her car. She had the right to say, I want that car because it's mine. And she then had the power in her handbag to fire a gun. I really want to encourage you that in the place God has put you, in your workplace, in your family, in your street, amongst your friends and the other places you go, you have the authority of Jesus. You have the right to say that you want the kingdom to come. You want to see his love and grace touch people and transform people. And he has put within you his Holy Spirit, who brings his gifts to help you to do this. And I really want to encourage you that just like these 72, you might feel like an anonymous Christian, that nobody knows, you're not the special one. But Jesus says, you're just the kind of person I want to use to represent me and to take my love and grace into this world. All that these 72 needed was a willingness to say yes, on the next slide, to be obedient. The heart of being a disciple is obedience, is to hear the call of Jesus and to obey. And I want you to imagine what it felt like for these 72 to gather around Jesus. They must have felt very special and really excited that he's called them together. And then he says this to them. He says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse, don't take a bag, don't take sandals, don't greet anyone on the roads. Enter a house, say peace to this house. Stay there. Then he goes on to say, go and heal the sick. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. I wonder how you feel. I think you feel scared. I think you feel inadequate. I think you feel this isn't going to work. And then we hear later on that the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. If you'd asked any of them at the end of that period of time, were you glad you said yes? They would have said yes. Wouldn't have missed it for the world. It was incredible. But if you'd have asked them before they went, they said, I can't do this, it's too much. What was between those two experiences was courage and a willingness to say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to obey and I'm going to take that step. And for us, as we read elsewhere in Scripture, the call to make disciples, the call that we are to be his witnesses, we're to be his ambassadors. There's no question that that is God's call on our lives. And what he's asking of us is just a heart that says yes. A heart that says, yeah, I'm willing to go, Lord. Would you please help me? And then to learn, as they had to learn how to do that, and Jesus instructed them. And I think so many things, and we're going to talk about what are the things that we find challenging in a moment when we have a break for coffee and a discussion. But there are so many things that would cause us to say, I can't do this, and this isn't going to work, and I'm struggling to do this. But we just have to be willing to say yes. On the next slide is not a picture of Alfie, my grandson, but I was there when Alfie learned to walk. I was there with his mum, and we were looking after Alfie, and he was just beginning to toddle, and she sat on one side of the room, I sat on the other, and I held Alfie, and Alice's mum said, come to me, Alfie. And then she let go of him, and he started to toddle, and then he fell down, and he sat on his bottom, and he cried, and it didn't work. And what did Alice say to Alfie? She said, "Oh no, I've got a non-walking child. This isn't going to work. How come he's not walking? This is terrible. It's an absolute disaster." Of course she didn't say that. She said, "Get up, Alfie. Have another go." She picked him up. I held him again. She called him again. He fell over again. But by the fourth time, he walked and he made it across the room. Why did she say that to him? Because he was born to walk. He had everything he needed. There was nothing lacking. All he had to do was learn and try. And friends, you were born again by the Holy Spirit. And God gave you everything you need to be his witnesses. But you might fall on your bottom a few times. But what your Heavenly Father says to you is, get up. Have another go. Because he didn't commission you as his witness in order to set you up to fail. You were born afresh to represent him in this world. And he's given you everything that you need. So what Jesus teaches these 72 to do is some just very simple things. And we'll just look at these briefly before we finish on the next slide. Thank you. So he says, when you go into a house, say to this house, "Peace to this house." And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. And he then says, stay where you're welcomed and then move on if you're not welcomed. It's a great strategy. He's saying, do something spiritual that releases my presence and see how people respond. Now, we could take this passage literally, and I could say to you that tomorrow, wherever you go, you're just to say, peace be with you. You could try that. I'm not recommending it as an evangelistic strategy. But I am wanting to take it as a principle. That first of all, before you do anything else, start to pray in the place that God has sent you tomorrow. Start to pray with authority. Start to pray blessing. Peace be upon this place. Start to pray for God to set people free to know him. Start to pray for the needs of those you love who don't yet know Jesus Christ. And then begin to see what happens. I live in a Buckinghamshire village now where I moved after I stopped being a vicar. And as I moved there, God made it very clear that we should live there, but I was not happy because I'm a city boy. And I thought, I don't know how to serve you in a village, Lord. And so I'm on my knees saying, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but would you please teach me? And so really all I did was I just prayed every day. I declared the lordship of Jesus over our village. I prayed for a move of the Holy Spirit in our village. And I prayed for God to connect me with people that he was calling to himself. And that's all I did for a year. And it felt like nothing was happening. But God was working. I'd meet people as I walked my dog. That was my big evangelistic strategy. Walk the dog, pray blessing over the village, and try and meet people. And I'd write down the names of the people and the dogs that I met. I had a little page on my notebook. It was called The Village People. I was quite pleased with that, if you know that's that band and YMCA. But I was writing their names down. I was praying over them. Lord, please move in their lives. Help me to connect with them. One day I'm walking along, and as I'm praying, I feel the Holy Spirit say to me, run. And I look up, and I thought, why do I need to run? And I realized that if I ran, I would meet somebody on the other side of the field who was walking her dog. So I duck behind the hedge, and I run behind the hedge. I get to the gate at just the time when she's there. And I said, oh, what a surprise to see you. And who are you? She says that her name is Tracy. I say who I am. And we talk about the fact I've just moved into the village. And she says to me, does your wife like craft? I thought I'd tell this story because you have a craft evening coming up that was being prayed for. And I said, my wife loves craft. My wife hates craft. But we're on mission. So we want to connect with people. So I know I'm not going to be in trouble for once when I get home and tell my wife, you're going to the craft group, because she knows that we're trying to connect with people and be on mission for Jesus. So she gets an invitation to craft group. We discover this is the benign mafia of the village. They know everybody. They're lovely people. They're not nasty, but they know everybody's business. And when we start a new afternoon congregation to try and reach people in the village, Bridget is sharing with them about the vision of this. Chris, who is not a Christian, says, "Do you need any music? I play the guitar." Bridget says, "Yeah, we'd love you to play the guitar." So Chris comes along to our cafe church and she plays the guitar. She doesn't know any Christian songs, so every week she comes to craft group and practices "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord" to the whole craft group. And she tells everybody how great this craft group is. And then last Christmas, Chris gave her life to the Lord as she put her sins in a shredder, because we were doing lots of kids with stuff with kids, and she felt forgiven for the first time in her life. All because I had learned to just walk and live intentionally, try to listen to God's guidance, and to pray God's blessing over my village. And then the only other thing, just to summarize before we finish, is that Jesus says, and my summary of what he says is, ask questions and tell stories. That's where I get from heal the sick. Well, where do you get that from, John? Well, you find out about people's lives, and when they share a need with you, you offer to pray for them. And you tell stories. It says, tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. And you tell the story of God. I'm going to tell one final story before I finish. I'm at a social event in my village. It's just before last Christmas. And I meet somebody that we'll call Angela tonight. And she tells me she's had a really tough time in her life. And I say, well, I'll pray for you. I didn't have a chance to do it there and then with her. 2 days later, I have a strange dream in which I see myself laying hands on her and saying, this sickness will not end in death. I'm thinking, this must be you, Lord, speaking in a dream. And so I find her email through a mutual friend, and I send the dream to her saying, I think God might be speaking. If it doesn't make sense, please ignore this. But if there's anything I could come and pray for you, would you like me to do that? She immediately sends back to me, please come round. So I go round, I discover who she is. She's actually married to the highest high court judge in the land. And she describes how she's had bowel cancer. She had a bowel cancer operation, and that they discovered it had gone beyond the boundary of the bowel and show the cancer was in the rest of her body, but she was having chemotherapy. The chemotherapy had been so brutal that she felt she couldn't live with it any longer. And that morning, when my email arrived in her inbox, she had decided not to continue with chemotherapy. And she'd said, I fear this is a death sentence. And then my email arrived saying, this will not end in death. I say to her, I'd love to pray with you, but I'd love to do it with your husband. And so I arranged to go back a couple of weeks later. I read a passage of scripture with Jesus healing somebody, explain to her I'm going to lay my hands upon her and pray for healing. And as I did that, there was just a sense of the Lord very gently but profoundly meeting with her. And she and her husband give their lives to the Lord. And then she comes on Alpha. They're in church every week. She's now in a midweek group with us in our home. All because I'd learned to say, could I pray with you? And God, in his sovereignty and his great love for Angela, was just looking for somebody who was willing to say, I'll obey, Lord, if you send me, in just the right moment, because he knows how to reach those that he loves. So we're going to pray now, and if we put the last slide up, that would be great. I'm going to ask you to pray in a particular way that I've learned to pray. So what are we going to do is we're going to ask God what he's calling you to do, who he's calling you to connect with, who in your life might he be sending you to the way he sent me to Angela. Who is it that is on the Lord's heart for you to connect with? Then, as you hear that call, you're going to obey that call and respond and try and connect. And then we review where that went and we think about what the next step is. And that's the journey of witness as God leads us. And it's an acorn because the gospel seed reaching somebody's life becomes like an oak tree. They're transformed by him and his good news. So let's ask the Lord. So if you'd like to be quiet and close your eyes, and I'll pray, and then I'll just guide us as we think and reflect. Lord, thank you that you choose ordinary people like us to represent your extraordinary love and grace and good news. Lord, we feel so inadequate, and yet, Lord, we are willing to say yes to your call. And now in the quiet, Lord, as we think about the people that we connect with in our lives regularly, our family, on our streets, our work colleagues, who is it who is on your heart? And who would you like me to connect with? And just while we wait, sometimes an image of a person comes, sometimes a name. Sometimes we're just scanning through different people and we just think, oh, I think it might be that person. Just trust that that's God leading you. And Lord, I pray that as you place those people on our hearts because they're on your hearts, I pray you would help us to just connect with them in a way that's just natural. And in those relationships, to find ways, Lord, to share you, to ask them how they are, to care for them and to pray for them. Lord Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.